Well, thank you so much for the wonderful worship. And it's such an honor to be with you all here this morning. Before I jump into a time of devotions, I just want to take a quick moment to say some thank yous. Of course, to the organizers of the conference who have brought us all here today, but also to some amazing mentors, role models, and friends that I've made within the CSCA, which is the Canadian equivalent of the ASA. I joined this organization near the end of my PhD, and at a time when I was really wrestling with my identity as a scientist and as a Christian, and I have learned so much from many of you here. Some are here in person, Janet Warren, Rob Mann, Steve Mandelowski, some of the people who I've had the chance to learn from personally, and others from reading your articles, your books, and watching your lectures online. All this to say, thank you for all the ways you inspire the students. So as a student representative, I thought to just steal that moment and say, you all really impact us in such a powerful way, and thank you for that. So I think I have about 5 minutes for our devotional today, so I will jump right into it. And I'll start by sharing a story. And this story is a bit of a hard one for me, not the most pleasant of memories, but I think it's one that really highlights what I'm trying to share in our time together today. So as Vicky introduced, I'm originally from Zimbabwe. And it was on a fated day in my early childhood that I was driving. I wasn't driving, my mother was driving, but I was in the car with my mother as we were driving across cities. And what was meant to be a lovely 5-hour drive across the countryside, just bonding and spending time together, was cut short really abruptly with an accident. And it's a little over 20 years ago, so I don't remember all the details. But what I do remember is, you know, a lot of screeching, the car flipping a couple of times before it landing with a thud. And, you know, in that moment, my mother and I were suspended, trapped in our car, upside down. Thank God for seatbelts. And it was a scary moment, a moment of shock, a moment of terror. And in that shock and terror, one thing was very evident. We had to get out of the car as quickly as possible. I don't know whether it was the risk of fire or the risk of being hit by other cars or vehicles. I don't remember the details, but there was just that urgency that, you know, we need to get out. And in that moment, you know, I think back to this and I get all teary-eyed, but my mother immediately turned to me and started to try to help me to get out of the vehicle. You know, she didn't for a moment think, okay, let me get myself out, let me save myself, get out of the situation. She instinctively thought of her child and put all of her effort in those few moments we had into trying to get me out. And what I didn't realize at that age, 7 or 8 years old, is that this woman, my mother, was really choosing in that moment to lay down her life, in a sense, to try to save me. And, you know, when I think of this, I ask myself a few questions. I wonder, is it because, you know, she saw the potential in me and thought to herself, my child has potential. Let me try save her first and hope for the best for myself, but let me get her out of here. I don't think so. I was a typical 8-year-old and my life at that moment revolved around a lot of very trivial pursuits. You know, I wonder, is it that, you know, I was such a good child that she thought, my child is very good. I will save her before I think of myself. And the honest truth is no. Africans really believe in the, you know, spare the rod and spoil the child. And I was one of those children where the rod could not be spared. So it's not because I was good. And I asked myself, is it that she had nothing to lose and nothing to live for? That she was so quick to pick me first? And no, nothing could be further from the truth. I think of my father, her husband, you know, who wasn't there in that moment. My sister, her other child. I think of the booming business her and my father had started. Her own family, her own friends, her goals, her pursuits. All of that in that moment meant nothing as she thought of me first and considered me first. And things turned out well that day. People did come and pull us both out. But I think it's just the thought that someone, in a moment of choice, chose my life over theirs. And frankly, I'll be honest, it's the kind of love that I don't fully understand. Maybe one day when I get married and start a family of my own, I'll understand what it's like to instinctively lay down my life for someone. But in this moment, I don't quite understand it. It blows my mind. And another kind of love that really blows my mind is the love of God. And with that, I'd like to turn to our scripture that I'll share today. And that's Romans 5, verse 8. It says, "But God clearly shows and proves his own love for us by the fact that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Now that's amazing. God didn't die for people who were like, "God, we're sinful people, save us." No, whilst we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And, you know, once again, we could ask, is it that God saw, you know, the potential in us that he thought, okay, I will give up my son for these people? And I think, yes, God does see the potential, but he also sees that we have choice. We can choose him or not. He chose to make that sacrifice. Is it because we were good or worthy? And we read here that it's while we were still sinners that Christ gave his life for us. And the only thing that made us worthy was that God chose us to be his children, and he chose us to be worthy of the sacrifice of his son, worthy of the life of Christ, that we may live and be united and one with him. So as I just think and reflect on this amazing love of God, this mind-blowing love of God that in many ways is hard to understand, I would like us all to just take a moment to reflect on how it is that God is calling us to respond to this love. And I know we're all in different stages and phases of life, and that response may look different based on that. For some, that response may be a call to rest, a call to step away from the hustle and the bustle and the chaos of everyday life, which I'll be honest, I get caught up in all the time, and just come to a place where, like Mary, we sit at the feet of Jesus and, you know, just drink off his words and get to rest in him. And for others, it may be a call to action, a call to do something, a call to obedience in a certain area, a call to service. I don't know what that is for you. And I'd just like to invite everyone right now just to have a moment of reflection, to close your eyes just for 30 seconds. And I know it's 8 a.m., so I beg you not to fall asleep. But just to close your eyes and reflect. Reflect on the love of God that has brought you to this place. Reflect on what he is calling you to and what he is calling you into. And with that, I'll just like to close in a quick word of prayer. Father, thank you for this time of fellowship, and thank you for this wonderful day ahead of us. I thank you for your love, God, your love that is mind-blowing, your love that we cannot understand and cannot fully fathom. And we pray that you may help us to respond to this love. For those of us you're calling into a place of rest, into a place of pursuing your presence, God, help us to do that. And for others who may be called into a place of action, obedience, service, God, give them the strength to do that. And Lord, be with us as we go forth into this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much.